Tartan plaid covers the Athens cotton press, an old industrial building converted into a banquet hall. It's on the tablecloths, the flags that line the room, and the guests. Men in kilts and women in scarves enter to jaunty Celtic music. Some head to the cash bar for glasses of whiskey. Others check out the slideshow, projecting lines of verse on the wall. And then come the bagpipes. They signal the start of this evening's celebration of the life and work of Robert Burns. The first Burns Supper was held in 1801, 5 years after Burns died, and they've been happening ever since. While the dinners take a standard form, there's no central body organizing them. The events are grassroots, put together by people all over the world with a love for Scotland's bard.
I grew up with Robert Burns because my mother was Scottish, and he embodies the soul of Scotland. I think that's the way to put it.
Ian Harden says the suppers help him celebrate his Scottish heritage. He's a retired chemist and the man behind tonight's 140-seat dinner. He's also the MC and has the honor of reading Burns's ode to perhaps the dinner's most honored guest, the haggis.
But if you wish her grateful prayer, give her a haggis.
Haggis, in case you don't know, is a mixture of sheep's organs, oatmeal, and spices boiled in a sheep's stomach. It's not fine dining, but Burns's poem does what many of his works do, elevate the everyday. Tonight, the haggis sits at the end of the buffet line, where it's served with a southern twist, on buttered saltine crackers. There's also mock haggis wrapped in phyllo dough, and other takes on traditional Scottish fare.
We have kakiliki soup, neeps, and potatoes with turnips and rutabagas. Oh, the mushy peas, and that's just what it says, mushed up peas. We put a little cream in them, it makes them a little better.
Lee Epting is the man behind tonight's food. The mock haggis was his idea.
I'm sorry for all you Scots out there, but far better than the real thing.
Epting says he's not much of a Burns aficionado, though he's hoping to learn more. For him, the suppers are a great excuse to throw a party. After dinner, more entertainment. There's bagpiping and Highland dancing, toasts among the sexes, and more of Burns' poetry.
The best laid schemes, O mice and men, gang afterglay. And Leas, nought but grief and pain for promised joy.
There's also a short lecture on Burns' life and work. This year's comes from Elizabeth Kraft, who teaches English at the nearby University of Georgia.
People are just moved and they recognize themselves, I think, in the poetry.
Kraft says that feeling's not exclusive to people with Scottish heritage, but open to anyone who connects with Burns' work. Burns was also just a regular guy with regular faults, and Kraft says that's another part of his appeal.
There's just something about the way he's so honest about his limitations, his failings, that kind of connects us. It's very, very human. And I think that that's the thing that will always touch people.
Like all Burns suppers, this one ends in song. With some gentle goading, guests stand, join hands, and start singing Burns' familiar tune, Auld Lang Syne. The song asks whether it's worthwhile to celebrate the past. The answer, at least for these Burns Supper attendees, sounds like a resounding yes. For GPB News, I'm Sam Whitehead in Athens.